Hi, I'm Anurag Wagh, and now let's move on to Chapter 5, where we discuss brand strategy and personality. What a brand really is. A brand right now is more than a name, a logo, or a product. It has become a sum of all the experiences and associations that exist in the expectations of a consumer's mind. You know, a strong brand name today, it embodies a promise that blends functionality, trust, and emotional resonance. See, post-pandemic, consumers expected brands to show care, inclusivity, and humanity in every interaction. The emotional message of today for a brand now outperforms its discounts, outperforms its features, outperforms even, you know, the cost factor where people are willing to pay more if they trust a brand. The Indian examples of such brands or campaigns are Tata Tea's Jagore, Amul's topical ads. They show how brands build cultural connection and long-term emotional closeness. Brand identity. What the brand stands for. Brand identity is the brand's intentional self-definition. Brand image is how consumers perceive it. Identity can be expressed as product, which is Bisleri, as Bisleri is water, an organization, Tata equals trust, a person, L'Oreal, global beauty, the symbol, McDonald's, the arcs, familiarity. Brand identity, what the brand stands for, anchored by the three Ps, the branding promise, positioning and performance. The identity now has an inner core voice, the value mission, the personality, and the outer expression. For example, the logos, the colors, the packaging. Coherent identity requires clarity on the purpose and differentiation from the competitors. Let's look at the three Ps of every successful brand. The promise. What do you have to offer as a brand and who is it for? Red Bull gives you wings. What do you have to offer? Energy, enthusiasm, sense of adventure. And who is it for? For adventure seekers. For people who, you know, imagine themselves or do actually live in the fast lane. Sports enthusiasts. Positioning. How will you communicate your brand promise and position it? Red Bull does it through humor. It takes itself a little lightly. But at the same time, how do you position it? You position it in adventure sports, in high risk sports and athletics, in, you know, even in car races, bike races, where there's a lot of adrenaline. That's where they position it. The performance. How will you deliver your brand promise? By showing these athletes having a sense of adventure, thrill, excitement, and the guts to do what they do. Foundations of a brand strategy. A strong brand asks three questions, you know, why does it exist? How is it different? And what roles does it play in consumers' lives? The core components include the brand purpose, a deeper why beyond profit, inspires emotional connection, vision and mission, long-term aspiration and present-day role. They must align to build trust. The core values, guiding principles reflected in actions and not slogans. The brand positioning is what? It defines the target, category, and differentiation in the consumer's mind. Brand promise, experience and equity. Promise and performance. A brand must clearly state what customers can expect and consistently deliver it. A broken promise directly erodes trust. A brand experience. Every touch point shapes perception. Product, service, digital interactions, retail, communication. Experience must reinforce positioning across all channels. Link to brand equity. Effective strategy builds equity through awareness, associations, perceived quality, and loyalty. Every decision from purpose to experience feeds into long-term brand value. What is brand positioning? brand positioning equals shaping how the brand is perceived relative to competitors. It defines what the brand stands for, how it is different, why consumers should prefer it, what is the positioning. It is built through communication, experience across all touch points. Now, what strong positioning provides is strategic clarity, loyalty and defensibility, ability to command premium pricing. Now, this is again, I'll take an example of Red Bull because it's strategic clarity. It's like, okay, we position Red Bull as an energy drink. We do it through humor, but we position it for adventure sports and high risk activity where people are flying in the air and they're doing the unthinkable. You know, these are super, literal superheroes who are putting their bones and their lives at stake. And this is why Red Bull energy drink is along with them. Loyalty and defensibility. The loyalty amongst, you know, thrill seekers for Red Bull, they know that that adrenaline rush is what they need. You know, so Red Bull becomes a name synonymous with that. And ability to command premium pricing, there's without a doubt, because they are positioning it at the level of, at the level of F1 racing, at the level of MotoGP, skydiving, all these thrill-seeking adventure activities is what Red Bull positions themselves as. Key brand positioning strategies. Let's take a look at that. Value-based positioning. It offers optimal quality, price balance, appeals strongly in price-sensitive markets. Quality and performance positioning. It anchors on superior engineering, craftsmanship, and innovation. Lifestyle identity positioning. Brand becomes a part of consumer self-concept or aspiration. Then the problem. Solution positioning. Frames the brand as answer to specific consumer pain points. Let's take a look at the emotional position. Okay, this builds deep psychological resonance beyond functional benefits. Niche focus positioning. This targets a more like narrow, undeserved segment with a unique promise. Benefit-led positioning emphasizes specific, tangible benefits that drive a product choice. For example, it could be a cupboard, you know, in your house, a wardrobe, basically. What is the benefit? It's got a sliding door. The tangible benefits that, okay, it's, you know, you can, it's light, so you can move it across the house without the help of any other people. So that is what has driven a product choice for a lot of people who buy at IKEA. Now let's take a look at this diagram. The brand positioning strategy needs to be clear and specific, relevant to the target audience, you know. Differentiate itself from the competitors. It has to be consistent across touch points, flexible, adaptable, memorable and engaging, also measurable. Strong positioning often uses multiple strategies. Effective brands blend their strategies to maximize impact. Functional plus emotional plus identity cues often work together. Hybrid positioning, for that matter, helps stand out in crowded categories. They appeal to both rational and emotional need, build long-term relevance rather than one-dimensional claims. In practice, positioning must evolve with consumer expectations, culture, and competitive shifts. Let's look at the steps to build an effective positioning strategy. They define the target market, demographic, psychographic, behavioral. Clarity here ensures its relevance. They study competitors closely, identify unmet needs and white spaces using perceptual analysis. They clarify differentiators, determine whether what is unique, credible, and sustainable. What are the steps to build an effective positioning strategy? We craft a positioning statement structure for dash target. Dash brand is the frame of reference. That point of difference because the reason to believe. So for football fans, UEFA is the IPL. At that, differentiating between your IPL and your football because it gives, and your UEFA because it gives that level of entertainment, that level of athletic sportsmanship, that level of skill. And the reason to believe is your big stars, big clubs from the Champions League like Real Madrid, Barcelona. So that's how it's done. A strong positioning statement becomes the foundation of all creative briefs. and brand communication. For example, again, Champions League itself, the name in itself of the product is so strong that you associate it with guys like Cristiano Ronaldo, Lionel Messi, Zinedine Zidane, and in today's world, Mbappe, and these big stars from all over Europe's best top leagues. What is brand personality? A brand personality is the human characteristics of a brand that you associate it with. This goes beyond your features and benefits and expresses how the brand behaves and speaks and feels. You know, Nike is a very great example of this. This helps consumers to relate brands in a way they relate to people. You know, motivated, highly motivated people, people who want to go and just get the job done, just do it. Nike, we associate Nike with those kind of people. This differs from brand identity. The identity is what the brand is, and the personality is how the brand expresses itself. Consumers often choose brands that reflect their actual self or ideal self. Why brand personality matters? For advertisers, different brands, why brand personality matters? For advertisers, it differentiates the brands when products appear similar. You know, your Nike shoe and your Reebok shoe is going to talk about the same comfort, the same kind of design, not exactly, but a shoe will look like a shoe, right? Especially if it's a running shoe. So that is where the personality of Nike versus the personality of a Reebok becomes a little bit different from each other. And that's when you start recognizing it, along with the logo, of course. It builds an emotional distinctiveness, which competitors cannot copy. You know, it enhances the brand equity and long-term value. And it enables premium pricing through emotional attachment. Why brand personality matters more is, for consumers, brands become the extension of their identity. I am what I buy. Ray-Ban aviators. I am what I buy. Now, that is something which looks cool on me. I have seen my parents, my elders use Ray-Ban aviators back in the 80s and 90s. It looked really cool. So I want to have a pair for myself as soon as I get my salary. You know, that is the kind of thinking that goes beyond this. Then it helps to signal a belonging to a group or distance one from another. For example, like I said, the Ray-Ban aviators, they differentiate me from the sports personality type of person on the Australian cricket ground who wears the fisheye sports sunglasses, the multicolored lenses and things like that, and the fluorescent bands. That is not my personality. I want to differentiate myself from that. I want to look more fighter pilot types. So then it shapes the comfort, self-expression and aspiration. It guides the choice in socially visible or complex categories. Now, brand personality is very important in a changing world because, again, the consumer is always evolving, that we've discussed so many times already. The consumer perception varies by culture, values and context. Some brands, what they do is they evoke different personalities across countries. There is a high relevance when products are socially conspicuous, they're scarce or luxurious, technologically complex, targeted or self-conscious audiences. Brand personality in a changing world. Let's take a look at that. Post-pandemic shift. Empathy, reassurance. These are the human tones that become essential when you are communicating your brand as a personality. Ads avoid large gatherings. You know, they are brand focused on connection and care. Now, emotional brand attachment. Strong attachment comes from self-brand congruence. Now, there is no bigger example than this when it comes to an Apple phone. An Apple phone may not have that many features as a Samsung phone, not even a camera with that much zoom. But Apple fans are dedicated. Like, they actually think of it as an extension of their own body. You know, that's where they are right now. Actual self-congruence, the highest emotional bonding. Brands that evoke feelings, freedom, happiness, status is so important, you know, reassurance. The matching brand personality to consumer self-image increases the loyalty, the purchase frequency, the advocacy. Again, I mean, there's no bigger example than Apple than that. You know, the way that it connects to that friend in a group who is never going to switch to an Android. Tools to explore brand personality. You know, the common analogies that used in research are car analogy. If the brand were a car, what would it be? A celebrity analogy. Which celebrity best represents the brand? The animal analogy. The animal analogy. What animal reflects the brand's traits? Jaguar, great example. Now tools to explore brand personality continued. These help uncover strengths and weaknesses, desired versus perceived personality, cultural nuances in brand interpretation. For example, you know, your Taco Bell. Taco Bell, people like the food in India because it is, I wouldn't say exactly, but it's similar to Mexican food, and Indian food is similar because of their spicy taste, you know, because of rice, because of beans. We cook it in a very different way. But the nuance is that Taco Bell serves tacos and, you know, fajitas. So we go to Taco Bell to try something different. You know, account planners must translate these insights into tone, messaging and visual behaviors. This is very important. Taco Bell has never positioned themselves and tried to make something Mexican Indian or something Indian into Mexican. You know, they are very careful about that. Now let's take a look at Acres brand personality framework. This is a structured model with five core dimensions, which is sincerity, excitement, competence, whether it is reliable, intelligent or successful, sophistication, charming, glamorous, you know, ruggedness, tough, outdoorsy. What are the uses? It helps humanize brands in a consistent, measurable way. It guides the selection of brand tone, celebrities, packaging and communication style. This ensures emotional, symbolic traits aligns across campaigns and touch points. Here is the same Acres brand personality framework in a visual format. Number one, sincerity. Is it an honest brand personality? You know, is it warm? Is it genuine? Nowadays in the clutter of social media, you know, you don't see so many brands with sincerity because they're so new and they are so aggressive with their marketing. Once you enter a keyword or something, it's all in your face. All these ads are in your face. So you don't treat them like a Johnson & Johnson's, you know, baby talcum powder. It's that trust is not built yet. But your ads on social media have excitement. They have hook points. They are adventurous and they're very spirited, you know. Come to this travel agency, we'll give you these kind of discounts, you know, so and so kilometers away from Mumbai, you can come here. And that is the way they sell excitement. They sell excitement in a way with even, you know, your ads when it comes to your teeth whitening ads. Oh, look, you'll get a perfectly amazing white, shiny smile if you use this product. So then after that, we come to competence, whether it is reliable, intelligent and successful. A lot of, you know, these trainers nowadays on Instagram who are teaching you AI, who are telling you how to get a job on LinkedIn, they are all about competence. Competence. Who all these people who have benefited from my program. Sophistication. This is again for your perfume ads that you see on Instagram, even on your television, your fashion magazines. And then ruggedness. Once again, I want to take an example of sports brands over here, especially Decathlon. They sell a lot of activity gear and active outdoor gear. These are the guys. This is how the personality is framed. You can go into many types of personalities, but Acres brand personality framework, kind of these are the basics that cover it. The tone of voice and brand personality, the connection that a brand makes to its audience, you know, why and how can you make this brand's human-like character resonate more with your audience? What is your tone of voice? Are you yelling and screaming at the top of your voice, yes, I am the best brand and, you know, it's marketed by Shah Rukh Khan and, you know, that is the way we want to go about it, or do we want to be more subtle? What is our speak in advertising language? What is the kind of style, vocabulary, rhythm, humor or music that you are using? You know, whether it's going to ring a bell in the head of the consumer every time he listens to that kind of tune. Then the example, another good example of this is the professional tone, authority and expertise. I'll take the example again of these trainers on Instagram and these, you know, gurus or AI or, you know, the stock market, the way they talk about their industry. The quirky tone, Zomato, Swiggy, they're making fun, they're having fun with every, you know, cricketer or TV star or movie star that they're dealing with. Then why the tone of voice matters today, you know, Post-pandemic, consumers expected brands to sound human, empathetic, responsible, and reassuring. Digital platforms like Twitter and Instagram, they amplify the tone instantly. Now with social media, you want to talk about, a certain kind of service that you're using, a website which is helping you to do your taxes, Twitter and Instagram, and these chatbots will amplify that on their platforms by getting not just influencers, but different ads. Okay, it's a tax season, use this site to file your taxes, etc., to do your taxes completely. The tone must remain consistent, but can adapt certainly by audience or medium. Now, account planners here, once again, they need to ensure that the tone aligns with the brand personality, cultural context, messaging goals, and platform behavior. Let's take a look at Jung's 12 brand archetypes. Carl Jung is, a name that's well known with human psychology. He has helped define deeper brand roles. Each archetype reflects timeless human emotion, stuff like consistency, emotional, distinctive storytelling. The 12 archetypes here, namely, are innocent, explorer, sage, hero, outlaw, magician, regular guy, gal, lover, jester, caregiver, creator, ruler. There are a few for freedom, which show the creator, explorer, outlaw, jester, lover. The social, caregiver, lover, everyman, innocent, they overlap a little bit, but this is where it's kind of heading. The ego, of course, this is where the individuality comes in. Your creator, hero, magician, sage, your personality comes in that area, and the order. This is where your ruler, innocent, and sage also fall in the same bracket. There's a bit of overlap, and it will be because it is not a clear math or a clear science. It's not physics with a formula. These are all about emotions and how not just brand emotions, but also human emotions. How archetypes shape advertising tone. The tone reflects the emotional core of the chosen archetype. For example, caregiver, warm, nurturing, reassuring. Ruler, authoritative, refined, confident. The creator is imaginative. And all these tones, they, in a way, separately and together, help the consumer instantly feel the brand's personality. And it is very essential for long-term consistency across campaigns and touch points. Now let's understand the planner's role in tone and personality. His role here is to ensure communication that stays within the brand's personality boundaries. Your Nike cannot try and be a Red Bull, or cannot try and be an adventure shoe, like North Face. There are limitations in terms of your creativity, of course, because you are already talking to athletes and sportsmen and gym goers. In many cases, even, casual walkers for that matter. But Nike does not exist in the hiking or adventure sports domain, The planner's job is to ensure he translates archetype traits into tone guidelines for the creatives. The planner has to adapt tone sensitively based on cultural differences, very important, consumer mood, platform requirements, and they have to maintain empathy in messaging, especially during social or economic disruption. Guarantee the tone that contributes to a coherent brand experience. Now, why personality plus tone build loyalty? Let's take a look. Tone humanizes the brand and it drives emotional connection. Daag Achhe Hain, again, is a good example. It's how does it humanize the brand? By making the brand think about a kid learning something, a kid experiencing something in their life. So it drives an emotional connection. The archetype alignment, makes the brand memorable and relatable. The fact that I'm taking an example of Daag Achhe Hain, it is very clear that is memorable and relatable. Consistency across content, ads, notifications, social, this strengthens identity, builds the foundation for trust, differentiation, and long-term loyalty. And personality and tone actually match the consumer aspirations, and brands become someone that consumers bond with. Understanding brand equity. Brand equity, the added value is the added value of a brand name that brings a product or service. It makes consumers prefer one brand over another despite similar functional benefits. it converts a product into an experience, a commodity into a symbol, a transaction into a relationship. It drives customer loyalty, ability to charge premium prices, a long-term competitive advantage, builds through consumer perceptions, trust attributes, and repeated positive experiences. What are the key dimensions of brand equity? Brand awareness, very important. Recall and recognition. Trust that increases with familiarity and the likelihood of purchasing again. Perceived quality, consumer's judgment of overall excellence, influenced by either design, communication, and also experience. Higher perceived quality, higher willingness to pay. Key dimensions of brand equity. First of all, brand association, functional plus emotional meanings attached to a brand. How identity shaped differentiation is made and why is it culturally relevant. Brand loyalty, repeat purchase plus advocacy. If I am using ChatGPT Pro and I know it's making my life easier, I will tell it to my teammates, I will tell it to people that I care about and I want to succeed, that go for the Pro, ChatGPT Pro version, you know, it's better, it's doing Excel sheets, it's doing PPTs, various kind of stuff like that. What this does is it creates resilience during a crisis and reduces the reliance on just promotions. Measuring and strengthening brand equity. What is the measurement approach? Qualitative. Brand audits, focus groups, consumer interviews. Quantitative. Brand valuation models. Then there's behavioral. Your repeat purchase, NPS, willing to pay premium. Now let's take a look at Keller's CBE pyramid. The base is brand awareness. The middle is performance plus imagery, leading to judgments and feelings. And the peak is basically brand resonance, deep loyalty, active engagement. This strong equity enables brand extensions, market expansion, and long-term profitability. The evolving 360-degree brand experience, traditional sensory branding, sight, sound, smell, touch, I think it is Britannia, right? Ting, ting, ding. So that is always registered in our mind forever. Then there is the sixth sense, how a brand makes consumers feel. Like even if I don't own an iPhone and somebody next to me has an iPhone, it makes me feel that that person has an elite product. Even though I might not believe that Apple is better than all the other phones like Samsung and OnePlus or whatever's out there, but I still know that my sixth sense is telling me that this person here has invested a huge amount of money in this elite brand over here. The key planner question shifts from what should they see here to what should they feel or remember. Now, I felt this person next to me having an iPhone, has brought an elite product. And once they took a picture of me and the quality of the picture was very nice, I remember that picture, you know. The 360, continuing that, the 360 brand and how it integrates in two dimensions. Integrated marketing communications. Shot on an iPhone. That is such a great campaign. You show a big hoarding, you know, with great resolution on a big hoarding somewhere in Zhou, and you say shot on an iPhone. This is consistent messaging across all channels, even on your websites, even on your phones, etc., on your television ad, that looks beautiful. Then there is Web 2.0 dynamics, the brand meaning shaped by social media, user voices and online conversations. Planners must kind of guide and monitor these organic dialogues to maintain a coherent personality for the brand. Now, digital brand personality and sensory substitution. Now, what happens is, in the online environment, you lack physical cues. So you don't know the texture of the shirt that you're buying. You don't know how warm that sweater makes you feel. Okay. So brands must create digital proxies for sensory experience. For example, nowadays there's a lot of moving ads thanks to, you know, your motion graphics. Now, I don't know how that sweater feels, how warm it feels, but I can see an image on a website where a lady is wearing the sweater, holding a cup of coffee, and gentle snow is falling in that image thanks to the level of motion graphics in AI that we have reached right now. Tools for conveying personality digitally. Typography, you know, how if you are a newspaper that you need to build trust, you cannot use Comic Sans font, correct? Then there is sound signatures. We discussed Britannia, how it has remained with me. Netflix, the greatest example for, you know, sound signatures. Droom, the tudum that comes at the beginning of every Netflix content piece, or I would call it content that is registered, chatbot language style, micro copy. Now, if you see, like, I'll give you a bad example. Like, on their website, Adani has like a terrible chatbot called Electra, absolutely useless, doesn't help. But there are other chatbots on other websites which are extremely helpful. Now, you'll also have to see, like, you know, algorithms, and now they express personality traits. Netflix knows that, you know, you're watching this. If you watch one murder mystery, it's going to show you six other murder mysteries. You know, Spotify, for example, is also using your algorithm and your personality traits in a very, very great example. You listen to a certain playlist, and according to that, below the playlist will give you suggestions based on that playlist. Then we also see how brands and personalities become adaptive, interactive, and responsive in real time. Now, planners, they must define, protect, and translate brand personalities across brand platforms and context. Their core responsibilities are use tools like ethnography, semiotics, and social listening to decode consumer emotions, you know. Ensure the creative execution and media choices, reinforce the brand's personalities across platforms consistently. Anticipate how social media and algorithms, you know, and user-generated content kind of may distort the personality, because if an influencer is in a certain way and the brand is in a certain way, their personalities don't match, there's going to be problematic. Then you have to design, as a planner, you have to design the counter narratives and reinforcement strategies where needed. Thank you.